Welcome, everybody. Tonight we're concluding chapter 11, this hall of faith in the book of Hebrews, the examples of great faith that we've seen in the earlier part of this chapter are now condensed into a description of faith and the results of faith that transcends the biblical characters. Some of the things that are mentioned here in these concluding verses of chapter 11 are brought to mind in the lives of other people in scriptures, but they also describe things that have occurred in subsequent years and centuries as well, even up to the present day. So it's a reminder to us that the faith of these Old Testament characters, and even some of the New Testament characters in Scripture, is not really a different faith than what we have. It's the same God, it's the same salvation, it's the same faith. So let's open in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to gather together, to consider your word, your truth, the fact that you worked in the lives of these great men and women of the past, but also that you are able to work through us as well, that you provide the encouragement, the comfort, the victory in the midst of trials and tribulation in our lives, even as you did in the lives of the faithful ones of the past. We thank you for this time tonight, this opportunity to gather together in prayer, to look to you for help and encouragement and wisdom. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tom, would you read Hebrews 11, verses 33 to 40 for us, please? Thank you. This passage is kind of a summary section of the chapter. Earlier on, it dealt primarily with individual instances of faith. But then in that previous verse, it said that time didn't permit him to even go into the great details of the faithful lives of the likes of David and Samuel and some of those judges of Israel, Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah. And here we even move beyond that. Now not even individual names are mentioned. In the summation, though, of these events, it certainly brings to mind instances in the Scripture where these things were actually fulfilled in the faithful lives of multiple individuals. But also, they are events and instances of supernatural blessing and encouragement in the midst of trials and sufferings that have occurred even down to the present day. So it is an encouragement to us that the faith of these great ones of the past is the same faith that we can hold on to, that we can depend upon, that we can trust and hope in. And thus, we can glorify God in the same way that these faithful ones of the past did. In verse 33, it speaks of subduing kingdoms. And of course, we know the many biblical accounts of the great military victories that were granted to God's people through individual leadership of various kings like David or Jehoshaphat, many others. But there have been times down through more recent history where God has given miraculous victories to countries, to groups of nations, in winning victories over superior numbers and greater odds. So God works out His purpose in the conflicts, in the wars of mankind, and we can expect that to continue for as long as the world shall last. And in these latter days, we're told that in these times there shall be wars and rumors of wars. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who brings the peace that passeth all understanding. But this world, this fallen world in which we live, is a place of conflict and warfare. And as long as that persists, we can look to the Lord to give us victory, even in difficult or impossible situations. It says further that these faithful ones, then and now, wrought righteousness. And of course, there's many biblical accounts of people who have done great acts of righteousness as a result of their faith. In trusting the Lord for their guidance and for their protection, they live righteously. They sought holiness, even as we are instructed to be holy as I am holy, saith the Lord. And this, of course, applied to the prophets. They withstood temptation. They withstood persecution and hostility. But there have been many people, even in more recent centuries and years, that have led to a reputation of righteousness, of doing the right thing. And we are often faced with that question, what would Jesus do? He's our chief example. He's our model for perfect behavior. And thus, we too are commanded to pursue holiness and righteousness, to strive to be like Christ in every thought, every word, and every deed. This description of the various results of faith in the lives of God's people. Next, it says that they obtained the commandments, or they obtained the promises. This, of course, is the fulfillment of God's covenant promises to His people. And while we may not have always received in full measure that which God has promised, it is said of Abraham that he didn't live long enough to see the promised land that was promised to his descendants. And yet he looked even for a greater fulfillment, a city with foundations whose builder and maker is God. He had that heavenly anticipation, even as we as Christians do not fully experience the depth of the glory of God in our present lives. Yes, we have inklings of it. We have instances of answered prayer. We have times when we can think back and see that it was God who delivered us from certain situations. And yet, at the same time, we have not witnessed personally the glory of eternity that it is said that we shall inherit at the point of our physical death, when we are absent from the body and present with the Lord, or that great day when He returns in glory and in judgment. So at that point, we will fully receive the covenant promises that He has guaranteed to us. To this point, though, there have been a fulfillment of many of his promises. He sent Christ, the Messiah, that had been long expected by the faithful ones of the Old Testament. It took about 4,000 years from the date of creation, after the fall, for Christ to arrive on the scene. And it's been around 2,000 years since he returned to that throne on high in heaven. But he has said that he will come again. And we as Christians can anticipate with hope and with assurance, with confidence, that he will return, that he will do that which he has said he will do. This also speaks of how the faithful ones have closed up the mouth of lions. And of course, when we think of that, we think of Daniel. But there are others. David, it is said, in his shepherding days, often defended his flock against the lions in the wilderness. And Benaiah, one of the mighty men of David, is described of having slain vicious lions. But that is not merely a past occurrence. There are more recent instances of God supernaturally delivering his people from the lions in the Colosseums. Some were killed, yes, but others were miraculously spared and delivered. And thus, the faith that God sometimes protects, sometimes allows them to be recipients of that eternal reward of martyrdom. But nevertheless, God's purposes are worked out in his perfect way in whatever he allows to transpire in our lives. It says here of how some women received their dead unto life. And this, of course, brings memories of the widows that were given back their sons after they had died by the prophets. We read also of the resurrections from the dead that the Lord Jesus conducted during his earthly ministry. The young man who fell out of the window after a night-long preaching experience with the Apostle Paul. And yet he, too, was brought back to life. There are other times where, with no medical reason, people have been restored to life by the power of prayer. And thus, the faith of God's people still sustains even today. This speaks of a faith which sustains us, which enables us to persevere in the midst of doubt and trial and trouble. This passage speaks of a better resurrection. We know, of course, that there will be a general resurrection of the dead, that even the wicked who have died will be resurrected unto eternal life, but not an eternal life of glory in heaven as the Christian is promised, but an eternal existence in the everlasting lake of fire. That is one resurrection. But the believer, the Christian, is promised a better resurrection. And that is that which is provided through a personal relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the faith that enables us to anticipate and to believe in that glorious promise of God. We read here of the experiences of the faithful ones. They sometimes were called to great suffering, great mockings, great torments. And yet, they were able to persevere. They were able to remain faithful to the end in those times when their lives were taken. But others such as the Apostle Paul. He was stoned. And yet, by God's grace, he miraculously survived. There have been times when God's people have been in great danger, and yet have lived through it, have been sustained. Their faith has guided them through the worst of sicknesses, the worst of accidents and injuries and woundings from warfare, many kinds of persecution, mockings by the wicked, torture. In this listing of all the different kinds of sufferings that God's people have endured, it mentions even temptations. Sometimes temptation can be as harmful, as dangerous as some of these physical sufferings that have occurred in the lives of God's people. And yet, those fiery temptations are that which refines us. We sometimes sing that hymn about the Word of God being our sustaining foundation, and that God's purpose is to refine us, even as gold and silver are refined. The dross is removed. Those old habits, the sinful nature, is cleansed and purged by the sufferings which we endure for the sake of Christ. And through that, he strengthens us, he builds us in the faith to look to him in our times of trouble, in our sufferings, and in our circumstances, to seek his glory rather than our own. This passage speaks of that better resurrection, and we too can anticipate that eternal glory that awaits not the general resurrection of the wicked, but the glorious resurrection of those who are absent from the body and present with the Lord. Because when the Lord Jesus returns, he will bring the saints with him, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those of us who are alive at his return will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. And these promises of Scripture ought to strengthen us to endure whatever trials we face, whatever sufferings we endure, whatever persecution even that we may face. This faith should strengthen us and should prepare us for even darker times in the future. Because the Scripture says that in these last days, evil men will wax worse and worse. To the point where when the Lord returns, he says, "Will I find faith in the earth?" Of course, that was a bit of a rhetorical question, because he will find the faithful remnant. But there will not be a worldwide, universal salvation, as some expect. It will be a faithful remnant in whom he maintains his presence. He has said that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will remain with his people even to the end of the age. So we can be assured that when he does return, he will find his faithful few. He will find that remnant of ones who have held to the faith, who have persevered, who have trusted him and looked to him for deliverance. But in the meantime, we see here the world rejects the people of God. It says that those people who suffered for the cause of Christ were not worth, the world was not worthy of them. In one sense, that means that the world rejected them. The world's values, the world's emphasis of what is important, differed from what motivated and guided the people of God. That which enables Christians to undergo the mockings and the torture, the imprisonment, being placed in bonds, being stoned, being slaughtered for the sake of the gospel. And yet all of that, through all of that, we are able to persevere, to remain faithful, to remain strong, to glorify God even in the flames or in the sufferings, in the prisons, in the bonds. Whatever cost we are called upon to endure as we take up our crosses and follow after Him. This all is for the glory of God and ultimately works, according to Romans 8:28, it ultimately works for our good and for His glory. Those who are rejected by the world, it says here, they were forced to go abroad in goatskins and sheepskins, rough clothing, not the fine linens and the fine silks and all of the luxurious clothing of the rich and the famous, but in the coarse, rough clothing. John the Baptist was said to have gone about in camel's hair and a leather belt. And of course, that was not the priestly garments that he would have otherwise been entitled to as one of the Levitical priesthood. But he nevertheless was called of God to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ, to make straight the paths, and to prepare the way for the Lord, so that when He appeared on the scene, there would be those faithful ones who recognized, like John the Baptist, that this was the Messiah. This was the Savior of the world who would take away our sins. And by the grace of God, we too have been given discernment to recognize our sin and to recognize the one and only Savior, the true God, who came in the flesh to shed His own blood that we might have eternal life. They wandered about without a permanent home. They were forced to go underground, it says here, to live in the wilderness, to live in the caves of the earth, the dens, to flee to the mountains. When the destruction of Jerusalem occurred, the people of God were instructed to flee to the mountains, to escape the destruction. But the psalmist also tells us that we are to look up. Our hope is in the Lord. Our strength comes from the hills. And this, of course, is a reference not to the fact that we can find any real material protection in going up a mountain, but the reality is that we can look to the Lord for our help. He's our hope. He's our strength. And thus, our hope is in the Lord. At the same time, we must recognize that true safety, true security, doesn't rest in what the world values as the palatial palaces or the fortresses, the military strength and defenses that so many have valued even in the present day. There are many people who believe that it's the United States military that is giving us our freedom and our security. But what we must realize is that it is God Himself who has preserved us, who has protected us, who has guaranteed our rights and our freedoms and our privileges. And thus, He and He alone deserves the honor and the glory. They found, in biblical days, as well as in more recent years, and even to the present day, that our hope, our help, comes from God. And we must not look to the things of this world for our safety and our security. This 11th chapter of Hebrews closes with that reminder that all of these faithful ones of the past died without having received the promises. They lived their lives in the confidence in the coming Messiah, the belief that God would deliver that Savior. And yet most of them died without ever having seen it. And yet their faith was rewarded. Jesus Christ did come. He paid for their sins with His sacrifice on the cross of Calvary in the same way that He paid for ours. That we, by faith, are delivered like those who looked forward to the coming Savior. in Old Testament days. So the faith that has guided God's people down through the ages is the same faith. It's the same Lord, the same Savior, the one who in the beginning was with God and in the beginning was God. That Alpha and the Omega, Christ, the beginning and the end. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thus, we can hold fast to His promise that He has reserved some better thing for us. These Old Testament saints were rewarded in that God blessed them for their faithful service, for their obedience to Him. They are recorded here in the pages of Scripture as great men and women of the faith. And yet at the same time, we too can hold fast to those same promises. He has reserved some better thing for us. We have more light, more understanding of the Word of God than they had in their day. Even the disciples had but 3.5 years of direct instruction from the Lord. We have His complete, inerrant, revealed Word of God that we can pick up anytime we choose. And sadly, we often neglect to value it as the treasure that it is and it should be. But nevertheless, it is readily available. There are places in the world where a single page of Scripture is cherished and guarded with one's very life. We often have multiple translations and multiple copies in our homes. But the Word of God is readily available to us. It's a better thing than the revelation that many of these faithful ones of the past had. But even that revelation was sufficient to enable them to remain faithful. And thus, we too ought to hold fast to our truth, to diligently search the Scriptures, to read the Word of God faithfully and earnestly, that we might meditate upon it, that we might prayerfully seek the illumination of the Holy Spirit to understand it, and most importantly, to apply it to our daily lives. Some better thing, more light than what many of them had in the past. And yet, it was God's purpose that we, like they, might be made perfect. They don't have any more advantage than we have. We have that personal faith, that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus, we have access to the same relationship with God that encouraged and enabled their faith, and we can trust that through that faith, we too shall glorify Him. We shall persevere and endure whatever we may face in our present and in our future. That ought to embolden us in prayer, as the Lord says that He desires to hear our petitions. And as we turn to our prayer time tonight, it ought to guide us and direct us and encourage us and give us hope that He is the one who is able to provide far more abundantly than we could ever ask or think. He says if we lack wisdom, we need only to ask for it, and He will guide us. He will give it. And thus, we know that He's the same God who answered the prayers of the prophets, of the kings, of the great priests of the past. He's the same God who is accessible to us today, that revealed Himself unto His disciples in that day, or unto the prophets of the Old Testament, unto the faithful remnant down through the history. He's the same God. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Do we have any thoughts tonight before we turn to prayer requests?